I want to talk about mothers today in a message entitled Mary, the Life of Faith. My mother prayed for myself and my brother and my sister. I don't remember a time when she didn't pray for us. She prays for us still. I remember at the age of 12 having some family difficulty, and mom took us to church every Sunday. Sometimes it was to different churches until we finally found a place where we felt at home and landed in Castro Valley in the East Bay. And she kept us there. Now, we didn't always like it. We had some rebellious streaks in us, all three of us. But mom continued to do the work and continued to keep us faithful and continued to bring us to God's house and to continue to pray for us. And 3 years later, when I was 15, she surprised me with the news that I was going to summer camp, whether I liked it or not. And she signed me up and she sent me off to church summer camp. And it was at that summer camp that on August 24th, 1976, that I gave my life fully over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was because of the diligence of a mother. Because of her prayer, because of her not taking no for an answer. And moms and dads alike, I know sometimes your kids will resist you. You know the right thing to do, and oftentimes it's the temptation to give in and say, well, is it really that big a deal? Can I tell you, as sure as I'm standing here now, having served the Lord for 42 years, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. You're the parent. Show them, teach them, guide them, lead them, even when they resist, even when they push back. Know better, because you do, how to teach them and how to honor God. And when they are older, they will rise up and call you blessed, and they will praise you for what you did. My mother got what she got from her mother, a woman born in Arkansas, a traveling preacher and evangelist as a teenager, and then married and settled in. And lived for God and prayed for us as well until she passed at the age of 85. Grandmothers, pray for your grandkids. You never know what they're going to turn out to be. You never know what lives are going to, how they're going to evolve and how people will be reached. I guarantee you this, my grandmother did not know the lives that her children and their spouses and then the grandchildren and now great-grandchildren, how they will turn out. I'm so thankful for you, moms. I'm thankful for your calloused knees that spend time in prayer and for the diligence not to take no for an answer when your kids don't feel like it, that you tell them you're going to feel like it. We're going to God's house. We're going to serve Him. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. And I'm thankful for mothers that do that. Well, this morning I want to talk about maybe the most famous mother, at least in Christianity, maybe the most famous mother of all time, Mary, the mother of Jesus. I want to talk about her life, and I want to talk about what made her who she was. Now, we don't know a lot about Mary prior to the announcement that she was going to be Christ's earthly mother. But we know that God favored her, and we know that her faith even developed over time. And when I read the scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, there's a verse that's been in me for the last couple of years, and many of you have heard it repetitively over those couple of years. In Galatians 5 and 6, it's in your outlines, you can begin to look there. It says this, that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Can you say that with me? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. When the Bible says the only thing that counts, should we ought to pay attention to that? We should. That's God's word. There's one thing that matters, and it matters most. Now, there are other things that matter, but this matters most. Faith. Faith in God and having that faith expressed in love. Mary was that kind of a person. I realize that some of us have not maybe had the most wonderful experiences with our mothers. Maybe this past year was the time you said goodbye to your mother and she passed into eternity. I know that today is not always an easy day for many people. But I want to tell you this, that God is your God. And that today can be a day of healing. Today can be a day of peace restored. Today can be a day of relationships restored. And my hope is that as you learn about the faith of Mary, that you will put that faith into practice and let that faith express itself in love. And watch God do some wonderful miracles in your life as you trust him, just as Mary did. Mary was a woman that the Word of God says had favor, had found favor with him. Now, I know there may be some folks here from different traditions that view Mary in a different way. I'm speaking today strictly from just what the Bible says. And the Bible says Mary, ladies, was no different than you. She wasn't perfect. She wasn't sinless. She was a woman who struggled at times, a woman who got confused at times, but a woman who remained faithful, even in the face of those difficulties. She was no different. I want to help us learn, what was it about her that made her that woman of faith? How does that faith develop? How did it develop in Mary? Well, let's learn about that today. Number one in your outline. When challenged to believe, we are often confused. Moms, you ever been confused? You ever been confused about what to do, how to do, when to do, what to say? We all get confused. Mary got confused. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 28 to 30. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." When Mary heard that initial introduction from the angel, she was troubled. She got confused. She said, "What is this greeting? What does this mean? I don't understand this. Why would an angel appear to me and speak to me this way?" It was fearful, but yet he put her at rest. And moms, you get this way sometimes. Husbands and young men and young women, we get this way. We all get confused at times. But it's in that confusion that when we learn to trust God, he begins to put the building blocks together of our faith. Her initial reaction to this news was that she was confused. And there's some reasons for that confusion. That in the Greek language, this phrase, "you who are highly favored," is a phrase that was used more commonly for royalty or someone with a title or someone who had a place in society, maybe a king or a prince or a lord or a lady. And for her to receive this was confusing to her. Why are you calling me this? Why are you addressing me this way when I'm just a girl living in a small village with no name, with no status? I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And she said, "No." And the angel said, "No, you're more than that. You're more than that. You're highly favored. For God has found favor in you." Here's what I know about a lot of us here this morning. If someone came to you and said, "You are highly favored," and addressed you as maybe royalty, or addressed you as maybe a leader or a president or something like that, you might say, "You know, who, me?" God wants you to know you're highly favored today. The reason you are highly favored is because you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're highly favored even if you have not yet made that decision. And I say that in the sense of God loves you. When Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son," he was talking about you. He's talking about you. Mary didn't think she was necessarily highly favored. But the angel was there to tell her, "Oh, Mary, you don't know you like I know you. You don't hear the talk up in heaven the way I hear the talk." As God the Father was looking for the right one to be the mother of the Christ child, that of all the people on earth, God said, "Mary, we thought about you. We chose your name out of all the people we could have chosen." And you know what? The Bible says similar things about us. Not to bear Jesus like a parent, but the Bible says that God chose us. We didn't choose him. That he knew our name before we were even conceived. Life has dealt you maybe some problems and some difficulties that have left you confused. But I want to tell you one thing. There is one thing that is not confusing in the mind of God, and that is how much you are valuable to him. Mary was confused, but the angel began to share with her and help her to understand that, "Mary, don't be afraid. Don't be confused. I'm with you, and God is with you. And God has found favor with you. Some of us think that God is mad at us. I used to think that. I struggled with that for years. Make a mistake, God's mad. Do things right, God's happy. Oh, but then that, you know, gets back and forth, because I was always doing things wrong and then trying to make up for it. And is God that fickle? Is God that uncertain of his relationship with us? And I learned really quickly, well, not really quickly, it took a while, but in a moment I learned, when God opened my eyes to the fact that he wasn't mad at me. I'm his child. And I remember when it took being a parent to realize when my little ones began to learn how to speak and they didn't say the words right. Or they began to walk and they didn't walk right yet and they were still stumbling and tripping. And when they learned how to do their schoolwork and it wasn't always right, and began to realize, I'm not mad at them when they make mistakes. I love them as much as I love them before they made the mistake. I want to see them grow and I want to help them develop. And I learned God's love. All of us make mistakes. None of us have been perfect in the sight of God. But I want to tell you this morning, you found favor with him. He's not mad at you. He loves you. You're his precious one. And Mary learned that, even in her confusion, that God was with her. Number two, when challenged to believe, we often have questions. When you're confused, the confusion leads to questions. But what about, what about this? But I don't understand this. But how could this happen? But how could that happen? And that's what happened to Mary too. Her confusion led to her asking some questions. How could this happen? How does this work? I don't understand how these pieces all fit together. The angel said this, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Mary asked the angel, how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. You can see the confusion in her mind. These pieces aren't being put together right. Mr. Angel, in case you weren't maybe aware, something needs to happen before a baby happens. And I haven't, so it can't, right? The angel began to clarify her questions to help her understand. Now, another person was talked to by an angel by the name of Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. And he asked questions like Mary asked questions, but Zechariah's questions were different than Mary's. In the first and second chapter of Luke, it says that when the angel came to John, or rather to Zechariah, and told him his wife was going to have a child, and this was a godly man, a priest in the temple, he was serving God when the angel came, that he said, no, I'm not buying it. I'm old, my wife's old, not going to happen. And his question was more of, prove it to me. You're going to have to explain this because I don't think it's going to work that way. And when his attitude was prove it to me in the questions, God disciplined him and he didn't speak for the next 9 months until the baby was born. Maybe his wife thought that was a blessing, not a punishment. I don't know. But if I could not literally speak for 9 months, I'm thinking discipline. Now, Mary asked questions too. When the angel said, you're going to have a baby, she said, how can this be? I'm just a virgin. Her questioning was not questioning of prove it to me. Her questioning was, you are God, help me understand. Very different. And we've all been there, right? Things happen, you go, nope. And the cynical nature kicks in. I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it until you prove it. God needs to discipline us when we don't trust him that way. Mary, on the other hand, trusted, and with the sweet purity of just wanting to know God's mind and God's heart in the matter, opened herself and said, how can this be? Explain it to me. And the angel did. And he said, he's going to come by the Holy Spirit, and walked her through that. There are times when your confusion will lead to questions. Your faith will develop when your questions are not a question of digging your heels in and resisting with a hard heart and saying, prove it to me. I'm not going to believe it unless you prove it. I'm not going to believe there's a God unless he showed up. And which, by the way, he already did. And we still don't believe. But rather a heart of, Lord, I don't always understand what you're saying to me. But I'm going to walk with you and let you lead me through it. We all get there. Amen? None of us all the time knows what God is doing. But that's the beauty of faith. When we learn to put our faith and trust in him, not only does God help us through the confusion, God will do things in us that we thought were once impossible, like have a baby while you're a virgin. And God will do miraculous, amazing, mind-boggling things in your life when you place your faith in him, not resisting, but honestly following him in every way. How can you respond when you have questions? Two very simple ways. Very simple ways. Look inward first. And I don't mean look inward like follow your heart, follow your... No. What I mean is the Holy Spirit is in you. Trust the Spirit that's in you to lead you. And he's given us God's word. Trust God's word to lead you. I'm not just blowing smoke here. This is my life since I met Jesus 42 years ago. And I can tell you, it works. And it's not it works like it's some kind of magic wand and you just tap it. It all works because God is a person. God is a father. God loves us. And this is God's relationship with us. He's a good God. And he will lead you so you don't have to be afraid of the questions because you know who has the answers. You also look outward, or look around rather. Look within and look around. Find others of like faith and talk to them. Oh man, I'm so thankful for you people. I'm so thankful. There are many times when I'm not sure. And I go to one of you, even though I've been in prayer, and I'm seeking God, and I'm trying to figure out what the answers are, and I can go to you. And so many times, you have spoken words of wisdom into my life, given clarity, the leadership that works with me, add input, and the lights suddenly go on in my mind. And go, oh, there it is. Thank you. We need each other. God has given us each other for that purpose. What a blessing to have you as a part of raising our three children. I'm so thankful for your input and for your diligence and for your love for our family that you taught Sunday school, you worked in the nursery, you led youth groups, you did all these things so that you could pour into our kids as well. I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. Sometimes you don't find the answers as fast as Mary did. When the angel came to her, it wasn't but a few days when she went, oh, what was that? And the answer came, well, I guess God's true, because here I am with a baby. Sometimes you might wait a little longer than a few weeks or 9 months for your answer to come. But can I just encourage you today, when you're confused, you can trust God. When that confusion produces questions, you can still trust God. For he's the one that has the answers. When Mary then had that baby, her life was one of commitment. That's step number three in your outline. When faith begins in your life, you will become committed. Even though Mary had questions, she submitted to the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, it says this, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. That's submission. I'm your servant, Lord. Do whatever you want to do with me. You're God, I'm not God. You're in charge, I'm not in charge. You're the leader, I'm the follower. Whatever you say, it's good with me. And when she was saying that, she knew the ramifications, for she was not yet married. And Joseph had in mind to divorce her, because he didn't quite believe it all, until the angel came to him and put him at rest as well. There were whispers. Yeah, right, she's a virgin. We know that's not possible. And on and on and on and on. Her life went, but she stayed faithful. As she stayed faithful, certain things happen. When you put your trust in God, when you work through the confusion and you work through the questions, there are things that happen to your life that will strengthen you, that will give you a solidness about your life, a stability about your life. And Mary experienced that in Mary's life and in your life. You'll become committed in the midst of surprises. Blank number one. You'll become committed in the midst of surprises. Right off the bat in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 20, the baby of promise was born. And in that environment, Herod the king, afraid that a new king was going to supplant him, said, fine, we'll kill all the babies 2 years old and younger. Moms, put yourself in Mary's position. Wait a minute, Lord. I said, I'm your servant. You said this is going to be the Christ and the virgin thing and all of that. I mean, everything's supposed to be rosy now, right? And she got thrown a curveball, and she was surprised when God said in a dream, get out of here and go to Egypt. Move somewhere else. She wasn't expecting to move. She didn't anticipate her life to be turned upside down. She didn't anticipate leaving her own country and going to a foreign country to live. But God said go, and they went. Sometimes when you're living the life of faith, you get surprised, don't you? I got to get the thought out of my mind that just went in there. Sometimes you get surprised. God is not surprised. You may be surprised. God is not surprised. The God who already knows your tomorrows never says, fancy that. Didn't see that coming. Wow. I think we better think this thing. God never says those things. God never says, oops. He already knows. He's already ahead. He's already beyond. To us, they're surprises. To God, it's a plan. And when you're surprised, your commitment will root you in the midst of that, so your surprises no longer throw you off kilter. Mary got surprised. Okay, here we go. Off to Egypt. Stay there for a while. Come back to Nazareth. Live our life. Your faith will grow in the midst of surprises when you trust Him. And you learn to trust Him through the confusion and the questions until you become committed and rooted. On the way, you see opportunities. Number two, John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The opportunity came. Jesus had already grown now to the age of 30. We don't have a lot about Him except for the one time when He was 12. And He was confounding the religious leaders in the temple. And Mary treasured those things in her heart, the Bible said. So she knew He had something that not everybody else had. But she remained faithful, and she raised her son. And he's 30 years old, and they wind up at a wedding feast, the most famous wedding maybe of all time, when the servants come, and they announce that there's no more wine at the wedding feast. Big trouble when you run out of food and wine at your own wedding reception. Bad news. And Mary, hearing this, goes to Jesus, and I don't have a good accent, and I'm not even going to try, but a good Jewish mother would go up to her son who thinks that maybe he's special, and she says, son, they're out of wine. And leaves it at that. But the look told Jesus everything. The tone told Jesus everything, and Jesus responded, said, woman. I think that's interesting that He called her that, not mom. But woman, why are you involving me in this? Mary doesn't answer, doesn't even give Him a reply. It just goes to the servants and says, whatever He tells you to do, do that. Basically obligating Jesus. Moms, you guys are brilliant at this kind of thing. Moms are the most skilled at this kind of thing ever than anybody else. I'm not telling you, but I'm telling you. Whatever He says, do it. Mary saw an opportunity because her faith had raised her to a level that nothing is impossible. You're out of wine. Is it a big deal, really? Save some face. Make it a nice event. It's not like raising the dead or anything. It's not that big a deal. What? But Jesus said, go find the pots, fill them with water, and serve it to the guests. And when usually the poorer wine is served at the end, when everybody's buzzing a little bit, He saved the best for last. And we find out later that this is a metaphor for Jesus is entering in, the new wine coming into our lives, the new wine coming into the earth with a new promise, with a new covenant, with the grace of Jesus Christ that overcame the law which couldn't satisfy and which couldn't bring joy to the gathering. Jesus brought that joy with the new wine of His very life. Mary maybe didn't know all the ins and outs of that, but God used her as she saw the opportunity. When our faith grows, see the opportunities and take a chance. What if we stopped looking at the empty pots and started looking at the what if? The what if? I shudder to think of maybe the opportunities I've missed because the impossibility outweighed my what if God. Let's take the opportunities. Mary did. And because of that, Jesus was brought into his ministry. And the world has never been the same. Number three, when you commit, you'll face problems. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 says that through 49, Jesus was ministering, and the scripture says there were so many people crowding around Jesus that he couldn't even eat. He's trying to eat dinner with his disciples, and he's teaching at the same time, and there's so many people that he can't even function. And the Bible says that his family were upset at him for this. They said, "Are you nuts?" And I'm not making this up. Mark chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says this: when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." That's what they said. Mary and his brothers. Doesn't say Joseph. I don't know where Joseph is in all this thing. Joseph kind of vanishes from the narrative. But it says Mary and his brothers came and they said, "What is he doing? What's got into him?" Said they were. They said, "He's out of his mind. We got to go get him out of this thing. What's he trying to do?" And while they're looking for him, they finally find where he is. They knock on the door and somebody comes to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you're in trouble now. You are in trouble. Your mom's outside. And she's not happy. And she brought the brothers too. They're not happy." And Jesus makes this strange statement. And he looks at the people there around him and he says, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? But you here are my mother and my brothers. For my mother and my brothers are all who do the will of my Father." Was Jesus kicking his mom and his brothers to the curb with that statement? No, he was broadening the relationship. Of course, he loves his mom. He loves his family. But he was trying to say, "I've got more family. Look at all of you. This is my family. You are the ones." And for eternity, we'll understand that. When we come into eternity, and Jesus already taught that there's no marriage and giving of marriage. And some say, well that's a bummer. I want to be with my wife for all of eternity. And God says, "Don't worry about losing her. I'm just going to give you everybody to be that intimate with. To be that close to and to love that much." There was a problem in Mary's life. Problems with her kid. "He's not doing what I think he should do." Mom's been there. "They're not doing what I think they should do." And yet by faith, Jesus works and begins to show and begins to reveal his truth in her life. Number four, your faith will grow in spite of a broken heart. John chapter 19, verse 25 to 27 speaks of Mary looking up at the cross and viewing her broken and battered and beaten son. I don't know, imagine what that was like. When my littlest one, Audrey, was a little one, I don't know, how old was she, 4? She broke her arm. Oh man, I just about reached in and ripped my heart right out of my body. To see your little child and her arm was all deformed and like, what are you going to do? And I couldn't imagine Mary looking up at the cross and seeing her son in that kind of condition. The Bible says, so beaten you couldn't even tell he looked like a human being. And Jesus from that cross with that deformed face and that deformed body turns to John the apostle and says, "John, here's your mother. Take care of her for me." What kind of a love when you're hanging on the cross and you take time to make sure your mom's taken care of? Broken heart. I think no parent should outlive their kids. But there's Mary looking at the cross. And you know mom's heart was broken when she watched him breathe his last. Sometimes your heart gets broken, Mom. Sometimes your heart gets broken, Dad. But you trust God. And in that, your faith grows. In that, you get stronger. In that, you develop. And just 3 days later, Mary understood more than she ever could. when she saw her son again. But this time glorified. For the last blank in your outline is that your faith will grow in a life of purpose. In a life of purpose. What a full circle. She had just 3 days before watched her son be beaten beyond recognition and die before her eyes and wrapped up and laid in a tomb. And then 3 days later, he appears again and he appears to the disciples and he's teaching them for 40 days. And he ascends back up into heaven. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, that when they gathered there under Jesus' instructions to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, Mary was there. Mary was in the upper room. Mary was with that group praying. Mary then received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling, the spirit of her son, the one she gave birth to. That same spirit came and lived inside of her. And she then lived a life of purpose. When your faith goes through the surprises and the opportunities and the problems and the brokenheartedness, what you come out with is purpose in your life. And that's what God is after. And that's what happened to Mary. But she had to wrestle through the confusion. She wrestled through the questions. She got surprised, but she took the opportunities. She faced the problems. And she walked through a broken heart. But in the end, her life was full of purpose. And the words of the angel came back to her that were spoken to her when she bore, or when she heard about the coming of Christ, when the angel said to her, Mary, with man this is impossible, but nothing will be impossible with God. That's a faith walk. What a life, isn't it? Isn't it a life to live with God? Isn't it a life to be led by God where you can literally, honestly go through life and say, is there such a thing as an impossibility? For me, the answer is no. There is no such thing. Do we get surprised? Yes. Do we go through problems? Yes. Are there brokenhearted moments? Yes. But there is nothing impossible with God. For in all things, God is developing purpose in our life. That's what God does. And that's what God did. And that's the life Mary lived. The great mother. But no different than you or I. A mother who learned just like us. Today you might be facing things that you find impossible. Can we use Mary's example and trust the way she did? You might be confused. It's okay. It's not a sin to be confused. Trust. Trust. You may have questions. It's okay. God's not afraid of your questions. God's not intimidated by your doubts. God's with you. And he's here to show you and to help you in your times of questioning. It's okay. Just keep going forward. Just keep going forward. Just keep going forward. And when you do, you'll find your life with God becoming steeled in your commitment to him and your surrender to him as he leads you through all the things that your life will bring. And in the end, you'll be full of the Holy Spirit, living life on purpose. There's nothing better than that, church. Let's live like Mary. Not only on Mother's Day, but every day. Amen? Amen. Are you going through impossibilities today? Let's pray. Let's pray. That's how you get through the confusion. Let's seek his face. That's how you get the questions answered. That's where you find comfort through the surprises. That's where you find the motivation to take the opportunities. It's where you find clarity when the problems arise. It's where you find the peace when the brokenheartedness comes. And he leads you to purpose. He always does. If you're battling today, trust him. Trust him. He'll be there for you. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this beautiful day today of celebrating our mothers. They are worthy to receive our appreciation and love. I thank you for my wife, mother of my children, for my daughter, the mother of my grandson, for my mother, for my grandparents that have gone on into eternity. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'll see them again. And I thank you for all of those relationships here in this room. We're not perfect. And some, there's been heartache. But I pray, Lord, we'd be like Mary. Say, Lord, I'm your servant. Take my life. Be to me as you have said. This life is yours, Lord. I pray today that we would all surrender our lives like she did and then begin to walk in the impossibility of the faith life. With their heads bowed, your eyes closed, I just want to give you a chance to respond. We do it this way if you're a guest with us because sometimes it's embarrassing for people to look around, and it really shouldn't be. We're all family, but sometimes it is, and you might be struggling. You might be struggling with the pain of just life's situations. You're confused. You have questions. There are problems and surprises you didn't expect. You're saying, I need God today to put my heart at rest, and I need today to take the step of submission toward Him. If you're battling through like that, you'd like some prayer without anybody looking around. Would you just slip up a hand? Let me see it. You can put it back down. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, sure. In the back, in the middle. Sure. Thank you. Thank you up front. Yeah, that's life, right? It's life. Those that did not raise their hands today, next week if we preach the same message, they'd raise their hands because something's going to happen this week. It always does. But we trust God. We trust God. I want to pray a prayer, just a brief one. I'd like you all to repeat with me this prayer, and then we'll close. Would you just pray with me this prayer? Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God, and I believe I can trust you. Right now, I'm confused. I have questions. But Lord, today, I submit those questions to you. I submit my confusion to you. I may not ever fully understand, but what I know is this. You are God. You love me. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. And I can always trust you. And when I do, my life will be a life of purpose. For I know that nothing is impossible with you. Today I submit my confusion. Today I submit my questions. Today I submit all of my life to you, Lord Jesus. And today I choose to live in peace, for you are the God who has me in his grip. Thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lamb. Pastor Sean.
Before we close and go into just a time of prayer, that for those who would like to just to pray with the prayer partners, just want to invite you, if you'd stand with me, let's just sing a chorus before we leave and enjoy the rest of this beautiful day. And then once we're done,
please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.